Ain't no teen group like Grace of Calvary. Amen. All right. Well, let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 11. As you're turning to John chapter 11, we're glad to have visiting with us Brad, Martha, and Autumn Marshall from Pulaski, Pennsylvania. Good to have you folks here today. Thank you for coming and bringing Adam with you. We appreciate that. Amen. All right. John chapter 11. I'll begin reading at verse 30. You can follow with me in your Bibles if you would, please. The Bible says, "Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to come into this place that you've so graciously and kindly given us to worship in. We thank you for all those who have come out this morning to be in the house of God with the people of God, to sing praises to God, to give unto the work of God, and to hear from the Word of God. And I pray, my Lord, that you would open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of every person in this place and everyone that's watching and listening, Lord. Open our hearts to the Word of God and show us things that will challenge us today, things that will change us, things that will comfort us, and things that will convict us. Lord, we just want you to do your work. And we ask that we might be receptive vessels. We might be pliable in your hand. Do your work. Have your way. Accomplish your will. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Disappointments, hurt feelings, being let down, those are all hard to take. I think of all the disappointments that the Lord Jesus experienced while he was here on earth. I think of all the disappointments and hurts that the Apostle Paul experienced while ministering during his lifetime. And here we have an instance in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ where it says in verse 35 that he wept. And why is he weeping? The next verse says, because he loved. Verse 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. It says Jesus wept. It is as if heaven and earth stopped just for a moment as the Son of God wept at a graveside. Turn with me, but keep your place here. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible says Jesus wept because he loved. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is called the love chapter of the Bible. And the Apostle Paul begins with the verse 1 saying, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity." Now that word charity is the old-fashioned word for love. "And though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." And so we find here, my dear friends, that this is the true love. This is a description of the love that God is. And if you look in verse 13, the Bible says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." Love is the greatest. Anyone who has loved has also wept. To love is to open oneself to sooner or later experiencing the pain of love. And God, who is love, also knows the pain of love. We get so concerned with ourselves that sometimes all we see is our hurts, our disappointments, the pain that we have experienced because of love, and sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God knows the pain of love. And this morning I want to show you point number one is this, that God the Father knows the pain of love. John 3:16, that famous verse says, "For God so loved what? He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." More than anyone else in all the universe, God the Father knows the pain of love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it tells us that God is love. And with a greater capacity to love comes a greater vulnerability to the pain of love. But did the prospect of love's pain keep the Father from loving? No, quite the contrary. For God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. Now God is omniscient, that means He knows all things. And from eternity past, before God ever created mankind, before He created the earth, before He created the sun, the moon, the stars, when there was nothing but God, God knew that one day, if He created the universe, if He created the earth, if He created mankind, that would eventually bring Him to experience the pain of love. Now, I don't know about you, but I might have just called the whole thing off. I might have just said, forget it. But He didn't. Because the glories of love far exceed the pain of love. When God created man, He loved him. And He blessed him. And He fellowshipped with him and He enjoyed him. But when man disobeyed God and sinned, God was hurt. Man chose God's enemy over God. He chose to believe Satan rather than God. The one who loved him and created him. The one who gave him everything he had and made him everything he was. He chose Satan over God. How it must have hurt God as he watched his own creation turn his back on him. Now there may be some of us in here today who have had similar things happen. Someone that we love, someone that we cared for, someone who we have been a blessing to, has all of a sudden, and probably maybe inexplicably, turned their back on you and walked away. It hurts, doesn't it? How do you think God felt? When God, who is perfect in love, God who is sinless, God who has done nothing except be a blessing, had His crowning creation turn their back on Him. It's the ultimate betrayal. So, did God decide, well, this is just too much? Did He decide, well, you know what, if that's the way it's going to be, I'm just going to get rid of all of you? No, God's love endured the pain and went on. On to fulfill the plan of redeeming the ones who hurt Him. To providing a way for them to be redeemed to Himself and spend eternity with Him. But in order to do so, he would have to endure more pain out of love. By experiencing the pain of sending his only begotten Son to earth. In order for him to suffer mercilessly at the hands of those who so grievously betrayed him in the first place. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Calvary was God's way of saying, I love you. To a race that did not deserve to be loved. It was not the excellency in the objects of God's love, mankind, but it was the excellency in the one who loved. We have a hymn that says, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. We too little ponder the cost of Calvary to the Father. We see the suffering on earth all around us. But we never give a thought to the suffering of God because of his love for us. We see our own suffering, but not his. We see the pain of the cross, but sometimes we don't see the pain of the throne. And to add pain upon pain, to watch his Son go through the agonizing horrors of crucifixion and have to turn away. You think that hurt? To hear the wicked words of sinners saying this, he trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And the Father had to turn away. And to hear his own Son say this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And to have to turn away. There's the pain of love. And you know why the Father had to turn away from the Son? Because the Son was becoming sin for us. And he couldn't answer his cries. And he couldn't show his love to those who stood by and said, let God save him if he will. God's love for you and God's love for me and God's love for every blood-stained hand that nailed Christ to the cross. Imagine if you can such pain, but you cannot. You can't identify with that pain. As pain, much pain as you've had, you can't identify with the pain of God the Father. That's right. And no one forced his love. And no one cajoled his love. It was freely and willingly given in spite of the pain it produced him. Now let me just say this to you here today. God loves you with a love that's greater than you can comprehend. A love that's far beyond your human experience. And he loves you with that love. And you and I are the ones that nailed his Son to the cross. You say, how did I nail him to the cross? Your sin nailed him there. If you'd have been living then, you'd have been with the crowd. If I would have been living then, I'd have been with the crowd. Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Father, God the Father knows the pain of love. But I want you to take you to point number two. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2. The book of Galatians chapter 2, I want you to see this. Not only does God the Father know the pain of love, but God the Son knows the pain of love. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, Paul writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ knew the pain of love. He loved us enough to come. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, the Son of God who loved me. Paul took it personal. You see, Paul, when he looked and saw Jesus, he didn't just see a Messiah and a Savior. He saw someone who loved him. He didn't just see someone who loved all of mankind. He saw someone that loved him. You need to take the love of Jesus Christ personal. He didn't just die for some nebulous, unknown mankind. Paul said he died for me. He died for you. Why? Because he loved you. Because he does love you. And Paul, by his own estimation in the Scripture, called himself the chiefest of sinners. So here's the Apostle Paul saying, listen, I'm the lowest, downest, dirtiest sinner of all. And Jesus loved me anyway. And Jesus gave himself for me. This low down, chiefest of sinners. Friend, I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. I don't know how you've lived. But I know this. I know Jesus loves you. Because he loved the chiefest of sinners. In love he came. In love he lived. In love he healed. In love he preached. And for all of his love, how was he treated? You know, the world he created did not even know him. In John chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The people he had come to save rejected him. John 1, 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And Judas betrayed him, and Peter denied him, and Thomas doubted him, and all his disciples forsook him. And yet, he continued to love. A world for which he died mocked him and crucified him. You know, there was a physical torture of the cross. That's what we're all familiar with. Yet every sound of the hammer hitting the nails caused him to say, I love you. I love you. As the crown of thorns was pierced on his brow, he said, I love you. As he hung humiliated before the hordes, he said, I love you. As they mocked and jeered and spit on him, he said, I love you. But who loved him? You see the pain of love? The pain of a physical cross. The pain of the most torturous death mankind has devised for execution. He endured that because he loved us. But there was an emotional torture to the cross. He was willing to watch all his friends turn their backs and walk away. He was willing to be charged falsely and accused unjustly. He was willing to be misunderstood and unappreciated because he loved us. There was a physical torture to the cross. There was an emotional torture to the cross. There was also a spiritual torture to the cross. He was willing to experience the only time in all of eternity that he was separated from the Father as he became sin on our behalf. there bearing our sins in His own body, the Father could not look upon Him and could not come to His aid. Why? Because love prevented Him from doing that, His love for us. Yes, Jesus wept. He wept for Lazarus. He wept for Jerusalem. He wept for sinners in the garden. Yet who wept for Him? The hymn writers have immortalized His love. One hymn says, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Another one said, "Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever." Another one wrote, "But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay." Another one said, "More about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me." You know, friends, we read it and we sing it and we quote it. But do we get it? Do we really get how much He loved us? Can we look at Calvary and not see the love of God the Father and God the Son? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knew the pain of love. He found it worth enduring for the blessing it would bring. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says about Him who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was the joy that was set before Jesus that would enable Him to die that cruel death on the cross? What was the joy that was set before Him that would cause Him to be willing to endure such pain and agony out of love? You're the joy. Your eternal soul is His joy. He saw that if He would do this, then human beings could have their sins forgiven and have their souls saved and have eternal life as a free gift that He paid for Himself on Calvary's cross and sealed with His resurrection from the dead. Number three. You know where I'm going, don't you? God the Holy Spirit knows the pain of love. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, let's look at verse 30. Paul the Apostle, again writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." The Holy Spirit of God, we know from the book of Ephesians, dwells within every believer. And the Holy Spirit, too, knows the pain of love. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. His fruit is love, according to Galatians 5:22. And He has shed the love of God abroad in our hearts, Romans 5:5. He's the third person of the triune Godhead, and the Bible says He has sealed us unto the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. And He has promised, the Holy Spirit has promised never to leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13:5. And John 14:6 tells us that He is our comforter. Now that kind of blows my mind. Amen. That God would indwell a sinner saved by grace to be their comforter. Who was His comforter when He was hanging on the cross in the person of Jesus Christ? And yet we, whose sins have crucified Him, we are the ones He came to comfort. And He too knows the pain of love. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, "Quench not the Spirit." Now that word quench means to silence, to ignore, to neglect, or to extinguish. Now let me ask you, do you enjoy being ignored by those whom you love? And yet the Holy Spirit warns us and we ignore Him. He reminds us and we silence Him. He convicts us and we extinguish His conviction. How do you feel when you're disrespected? How do you feel when you're ignored? How do you feel when you go to talk to somebody and they don't even pay attention? They act like you're not even there. And yet that's what we do to the Holy Spirit of God when we quench Him. When He's trying to warn us. When He's trying to comfort us. When He's trying to help us. And we just don't pay no attention. We just go on our way. You see, He knows that pain. We read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." That word grieve is the Greek word lupeo. It means to distress, to make heavy or sad, to disappoint, to let down, to hurt. You enjoy being hurt and made sorrowful by those whom you love? Of course not. Yet we grieve the Holy Spirit with our attitudes. We grieve the Holy Spirit with our words. We grieve the Holy Spirit with our actions. He sees what we see and is grieved. He hears what we hear and is grieved. He's taken where we go and is grieved. He's involved in what we're involved in and He is grieved. And do we care? How often, dear Christian, do you give thought to that before you say it, before you go there, before you touch it, before you look at it, before you listen to it? How often do you ever consider that the Holy Spirit of God, who has sealed you until the day of redemption, who lives in you, will be grieved if you do? Oh, we want God to hear our prayers. We want God to bless us. We want God to help us. We want God to do this and God to do that. And He says, well, all you do is grieve me. And so we quench the Holy Spirit by silencing His word to us and ignoring Him and neglecting Him and extinguishing Him. We grieve Him by causing Him to be sorrowful and hurt by the things we do and say and think and places we go, stuff we get involved in. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, the Bible says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." The word resist is the word anapipto in the Greek. It means to oppose. It means to pursue a self-determined course in opposition. In other words, the Holy Spirit's trying to help us say, let's go this way. And you're going, no, I ain't going that way. I'm going this way. Yeah, but this is, no, I don't care. I'm going this way. But that's not, I don't care. I'm going, you see? A self-determined course in opposition to where God wants us to go. A self-determined course in opposition to the Word of God. To the leading of the Spirit. Do you enjoy those who love you when they oppose you? No. How much less your own children? And yet we oppose God. In all these ways, we can cause the Spirit of God pain, and yet still, His love never ceases. His love never wanes. His love for us never grows cold. He's always and ever there for us when we don't even care about Him. The Holy Spirit's love is such that He too, along with the Father and the Son, is willing to endure the pain of love for love's beauty and blessings. You know, God, the Father, God, Son, God, the Holy Spirit might say to us today, yeah, it hurt. And yet, it still hurts. But it's worth it. Because I have you. It's worth it because one of these days I'll have you in eternity with me. It's worth it. Because I love you. And I want to close with this fourth point. And this is just a question. What about you and I? So often we decide it's not worth it when it comes to love. So often we say, well, you know, all I ever do is get hurt. But love, true love, is worth the pain. Since we will, you know, there are some people who will not open themselves up to love or to be loved for fear of rejection. But Christ was rejected, and he loved. And now think of all the love he's received from those he's saved by his grace. The Bible speaks to Christians and says of Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love. And so because he was willing to have the pain of love, now he opened himself up to the rejection, but now he has the love that he's receiving as a result. But a person cannot be complete without giving and receiving love. You're made to love. And you're made by God to receive love. And you're not complete if you're not giving and receiving love. First, the love of God. And second, the love of the brethren. And third, the love of family. Sure, the pain will come, but it is better to love and experience the rewards than not to love for fear of pain. To love is to be like Christ. And to be loved is a blessing. There are some who cannot love others because they themselves feel unworthy and do not believe that they are worthy of loving. Yet Christ loves them and others love them too. What a shame to miss out on it. There are some who live lives of solitary loneliness to avoid the pain of love, but then they secretly endure the pain of isolation. There are some who live lives of bitterness and resentment because of the pain of love, but they're personally enduring a festering self-inflicted pain of self-pity. And some have never learned to love, yet there is within them a deep-seated need to be loved and to love. My friends, accept the love of God. That's where it starts. You've got to accept the love that God has for you. And you have to understand, he doesn't love you because you're so wonderful. He loves you because he's love. You don't have to earn God's love. You don't have to deserve God's love. You can't buy God's love. You can't work for God's love. You just have God's love. But I'm not worthy. No, you're not. It's not you, it's him. You understand? You need to accept God's love for you. And then you need to allow God to love others through you by his Spirit that lives within you. Don't be afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind." Yes, when you open yourself to loving and being loved, you also open yourself to the possibility and the inevitability of its pain. Yet we cannot allow the pain to rob the pleasure or allow the bitter to keep us from enjoying the sweet. Listen, we all weep. Some are going to weep because of love, and some will weep because of a lack of love, which is worse. Someone once said that without risk, there is no reward. You see, when you see the value of the reward, you'll be willing to take a risk. My dear friend, when you see the value of love, the risk of loving, when you see the value of the risk of being loved, then you'll be willing to risk it for the reward that it brings. You've been hurt. That pain can be healed by the love of the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. His grace is sufficient. Amen. You need to step out from the shadow of fear and doubt into the light of God's love. And you need to do it this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Just answer them to yourself. You're here today and you're a Christian. You're You know for sure that you've been saved. You're born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So today, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm saved by grace through faith in Christ. Do you have a need in this area of love? Maybe you can't love, or you think you can't love. Or maybe you're afraid to accept love. Or maybe you find it hard to trust. Or maybe you just can't open up, or you can't get close. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help, find grace to help in time of need. Do you have a need to be more loving? Have you fully accepted God's love for you? Maybe this morning you've experienced betrayal or rejection. Let the Lord of love take you beyond all that has been to what can be. Christian, have you been a vessel of God's love? Do you share God's love with others? Maybe this morning you need to come before the Lord and just say, Lord, thank you for experiencing the pain of love for me. Now help me to be willing to experience the pain of love for you and for others. And maybe you're here today, or you're watching or listening, and you've never been born again. Do you realize how much God loves you? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Do you believe God loves you? Do you believe that God can and will forgive your sins? His heart yearns to take you into His family today, to forgive your sins and give you the gift of eternal life and establish a love relationship with you as His child. And all He asks is that you will believe and receive, that you'll accept His love and forgiveness today, right here, right now. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And Romans said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants to take you into His family today. It has to be by faith. And if you'll call upon the name of the Lord and trust Jesus as your Savior, you'll be born into God's family in a moment. You say, preacher, I need to trust Christ today. Preacher, I need to get saved. I need to be born again, and I'm willing to do it right here, right now, right where I sit in the privacy of my own heart and mind. Awesome, I'll help you. You say, preacher, would you help me? Then I want you to look up at me. Only people looking up are those who are saying, preacher, I know in my heart I need to be saved. I know I need to be born again, and I'm willing right here to trust Christ as my Savior, right in my seat. Anybody like that here today? You're looking up and you're saying, help me pray this prayer. I need to pray. Help me, preacher. I'll pray with you. Anybody like that here today? Father, we thank You this morning for Your great love. And Father, so often we're so caught up in the pain of our own love that we never think about the pain of love that You experienced. And we don't take time to think of the pain of love that Jesus experienced. And we don't take time to consider the pain of love that even now the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us experiences on a daily basis. Would You help us to be more aware? And Father, would You help us to allow Your love to so permeate us that we can share Your love with others, that we can not only be loved, but we can also love. And then, my Father, I ask that You be with anyone in this room who needs Christ as their Savior, that they'll come and meet me at the front and come to know the joy of sins forgiven and the wonderful gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. We thank You, we praise You, we give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing number 144. Calvary covers it all. Maybe this morning as we sing this hymn, you'd like to come and pray before the Lord. You'd like to come and get on your face at the altar here and just say, Lord, thank You for loving me with a love I can't fully comprehend. Maybe you'd like to come this morning and say, dear God, help me be a vessel of Your love. Maybe you need to just accept God's love this morning. And maybe you'd like to come and say, Lord, I don't understand why You love me. I'm just thankful that you do. And maybe today you need to be saved. Maybe you've never been born again. The Bible tells you you can know for sure you're going to heaven. We'd like to show you. If that's your need today, just step out as we sing. You come and see me. We have people who are prepared to sit with you for a few minutes and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. All right, as we sing on the first.